Good to be back, and I have been sharing the parables of the Lord Jesus with you for a while now, and the last time when I spoke, I sort of do a special sort of emphasis on the gospel of the kingdom of God, and I try to explain to you what is the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, as Matthew puts it, and also what is the kingdom of this world. And today I'm going to look at, especially Matthew chapter, from chapter 13 of Matthew, looking at the parables that Jesus shared there. And we know that Matthew 13 is quite unique because it contains nearly about 7 or 8 parables. And it was when the Lord Jesus, feeling the hostility towards him, around him, especially from the scribes and the Pharisees, and when he sensed that hostility and he has to take a stand for the kingdom of God, and he began to speak to them in parables. So what is a parable? Is a parable is something that is using something physical to give us meaning of what is spiritual. In a sense, using things that we can see or we can relate to, and then give us meaning that we can't really see, or things that is spiritual. So this is what parable is. And there is a reason why the Lord Jesus began to speak in parables to the Jews, to the Pharisees, to the people, even to his own disciples. But for his disciples, he explained some of the parables to them. And there's a reason for that. Most of these parables begin with the phrase, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is like this or is like that. And that's why I took that opportunity in my last message to share about what is the kingdom of God, because it is so important. So maybe I'll just summarize a bit about what the kingdom of God is, so that you can remember it. The kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, we have looked at them, these two terms, and we find that in the gospel, these two terms are used interchangeably. So in a sense that the kingdom of God is exactly the same as the kingdom of heaven. And we look at it from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, and we look at throughout the whole history of mankind, what the kingdom of God really is. So basically, the kingdom of God relates very much to the subject of God's kingdom. So his people, the people that he created and the people that he loves. So in summary, the kingdom of God is not of this world. It is not over a physical boundary, or over land, or over things. The kingdom of God is the reign and rule of God, where the subject of God's kingdom, his people, willingly submit to his sovereignty. And before we come into the kingdom of God, as most of us here are, we are in the kingdom of this world, where the ruler is Satan. Satan was called the God of this world. He was called the Prince of this world. He was the evil one. And John tells us that the whole world lies in the hands of this evil one. When we were in this kingdom of the world, we saw how men rejected God's sovereignty over them. Instead of receiving God as their king, they want another man to be their king. And we saw in the history of Israel, God gave them a king. The first one was King Saul. But we saw how sadly that ended. And later on, even though you had some good kings, but most of the kings that come after them, they are all quite evil. and they are leading the people of God towards the idols. Then there was a silence in the history of Israel, or in the history of mankind. And everyone was looking forward to, waiting for the coming of the Messiah. There are at least 400 or 500 years of silence in the scripture, in the books that, in the Bible that we have, between Malachi and Matthew, there is 400 or 500 years of silence. And every heart was looking forward to this coming of the Messiah, the Son of God. So eventually God did send his Son, and he did came as a king. Not as a king over physical boundary or physical territory. Not as a king who sit on the highly decorated throne. And when he was confronted by Pontius Pilate, Jesus affirmed that he is a king. He is a king. He's a king who come to die for those who are willing to submit to his reign. He will be a king through crucifixion, through resurrections, through ascension. Everyone of us who hear the king's voice, Jesus' voice, and willing to believe in him and submit to him, will come under his kingdom. So hopefully now we can go to the parables with this information in the background. And when we hear the parables about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, we'll have a better understanding. As I say, Matthew chapter 13 is quite unique. It stands out because it had 8 parables, more than any other chapter in the gospel. And today we're going to look at the first parable in Matthew 13. Let's go to Matthew 13 now. We just read the first 2 verses first. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. So if you look at the first part of that first verse, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house. Now, which day was that? So you may have to go back to chapter 12 and see what happened that day. And when you look at chapter 12, you found plenty of things happened on that day. It began, chapter 12 of Matthew telling us on that day, it was a Sabbath day. And say that on that same day, on that day, the disciples went through a cornfield and they saw some corns and they were hungry. So they plucked some corns, rub it in their hands, and then helped themselves through it. It's totally legal. In those days, if you go past a cornfield, it belonged to someone else. If you're hungry, you're able to pluck corn and help yourself through it. All the poor people can do that. But the Pharisees who are watching them carefully, they are not happy about that. So they challenged the Lord Jesus and his disciples. Why the disciples did that? It's against the Sabbath day rules to rub the corns in your hand and eat them that way. But the Lord Jesus said to them, he is the Lord of the Sabbath. So his disciples could do that. Now, they were totally shocked, at the same time dismayed at what Jesus claimed. Then Jesus went into the synagogue, and there in the synagogue was a man with a withered hand. It's a hand that has been dried up because he cannot move. And over the years, as he could not move, they lost muscle mass and it lost all sorts of ability to move and so forth. And the Pharisees knew that Jesus would do something about this man. So they asked him a question. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? They want to see what he will do so that they may accuse him. We knew the Lord Jesus answered to them. And then the Lord Jesus also promptly said to the man, stretch up your hand. And the man stretched it out, and it was healed. His hand, his withered hand now, looked exactly as the other good hands. Same look, same muscle mass, and he can move. He was healed. He was restored. On seeing that, the Pharisee, instead of giving praise to God, giving glory to God, they went out, and what did they do? They plotted against the Lord Jesus. They want to find ways that they can destroy him. Then on that same day, another man was brought before Jesus. Now this man was demon-possessed. He was blind and he was mute. The Lord Jesus also healed him. So this blind and deaf and mute man can now speak, can now see. The Pharisees, did they give praise to God? No. They were accusing Jesus of working with Satan. He said he must have cast out this demon by the power of Satan. And Jesus challenged them on that. He said, how could Satan cast out Satan? If he did that, his kingdom would not stand. Notice that Jesus recognized that there is a kingdom that belonged to Satan. And we have talked about it last time. It is the kingdom of this world. Then Jesus warned them not to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, for it is a sin that is not pardonable. But the Pharisee continued to challenge him. The Lord Jesus then said to them that if he had cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon them. But the Pharisees and the scribes, they want to have nothing to do with the kingdom of God, as Jesus puts it. They are not willing to submit to it. Now, with this increased hostility towards the Lord Jesus, Jesus went out of the house. He went to the shore, and then as people are gathering around him, he decided to step onto the boat. So the boat then go out a little bit of distance from the shore, and the people will sit around where he stood, and then they will just, as the shore go up to the land, it will gently rise. So these people who sat around form a little amphitheater, and it's a very interesting and very nice setting where everyone can hear what the Lord Jesus said to them. That is when he began to speak to them in parables. Now we're going to go to that parable now in Matthew chapter 13, verse 3. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung out and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded the crop, some 100-fold, some 60, Psalm 30, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. I really hope that when I read this, you are paying attention, because it is a very famous parable. And I believe that many of you who have heard it, some of the young people who have heard it in Sunday school, even in youth group. But Jesus said, he who has an ear, let him hear. And when he started this parable, he said, behold. You know, that word behold is grabbing the attention of the listener. It's almost like saying loudly, listen. So I hope that when you listen to this parable and listen to what Jesus has to say about it, that you are listening carefully. You know, sometimes when we say we have a photograph, and when we see a group photograph where you're in it, you firstly look for yourself, isn't it? You want to see how you look in that photograph. Hopefully, when you listen to the parables, you also look for yourself in the parables too. Because every parable that Jesus said has something to do with you. He is speaking to you. So let's look for yourself in that parable where you might be. So the Lord Jesus gave this parable, and he talked about a very common occurrence in his days, where a sower would go out and sow. Now, sowing seeds in those days are quite different to how we do it today. Today we have big machineries and that plow the land and then sow the seeds at the same time. But in Jesus' days, a sower would go out with a big bag of seeds on his shoulders, and then he would just grab the seeds, a bunch of seeds, and just throw it like that as he walked. He did not plow the ground first. He would sow the seeds and then later on come back and plow the ground a bit so that the seeds can settle into the ground, and then he will wait for rain to come. So the sower will go out to sow, and he will spread the seeds far and wide, and the seeds will follow the current of the wind, will fall on the various places. And Jesus told us in this parable there are four different places that these seeds will go to. The first place is the wayside. The wayside are the hard trodden ground that the sower will walk on. So these are the places that many feet has gone through it over the years, and it has become hard. There's no soil, just very, very compact soil. There's soil, but very, very compact. The seeds could not possibly take root. And most of these seeds will then be eaten by the birds who came down and swooped upon them. Some seeds fell on rocky ground. So these rocky grounds are grounds that has a thin layer of soil on top, but beneath it are very hard rocks. So when the plowing process going through that area, it could not really break the rocks. So it has only a thin layers. The seeds that fell upon those rocky ground can only grow for a little bit, but it could not take roots. So when the sun came out, when the scorching sun shined upon it, it will wither and die away. It cannot survive. Then there are grounds that already has some thorns and thistles and brambles or weeds that has been growing. So these seeds will fall into those ground. It has some soil, it will grow, but eventually it gets choked by those thorns and thistles and weeds, and then it will also die without bearing fruit. Finally, there is the good earth. Good earth are grounds that has good soil and no thistles, no thorns. It has no rocks, hard rocks underneath it. And those seeds that fell on that good ground will then bear fruits. And Jesus said, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. And Jesus said, those who have an ear, listen. Let's continue in verse 10. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? The disciple did not understand it, because suddenly Jesus speak from a plain speaking to speaking in parables. Disciples asked him, why do you do that? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of these people had grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For surely I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So the disciple was really puzzled. Why did the Lord do that? And the Lord gave them an answer that perhaps puzzled them even more. Because Jesus was saying to them that only to some people the revelation about the mystery of the kingdom of God will be given, but to some others it will be hidden. And many Bible students will puzzle with that too. Wouldn't the Lord want more people to know the truth? Wouldn't he want more to be safe? Wouldn't he want all of us to understand the mystery of the kingdom of God so that we can be part of the kingdom of God? But here the Lord Jesus said, no, not everyone is given to know the mystery of God. So when he speaks in parable, he was speaking to reveal the mystery of the kingdom of God to those people who are listening. At the same time, he is concealing the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, from some people. So this is a difficult situation. What do you make of that? But if you look carefully, you know that Jesus was quoting from Isaiah. And these verses that Jesus used was from Isaiah chapter 6. We know that in Isaiah chapter 6, the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah has a vision. He said, he saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and his robes filled the temple. Isaiah saw that. Then he saw the cherubim, the living creatures, were surrounding the throne, and they were crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." Then they said, "The whole earth is full of his glory." Now, when Isaiah saw that, he panicked. He said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, living in the midst of people with unclean lips." He saw the holy God before him, and he felt that he is unworthy to be in his presence. And then the seraphim took a piece of hot coal and then touched his lips. You know, if you have good imagination, you can hear the sound. And then God said to him that, the seraphim said to him that his sins has been purged. His sins has been taken away. And then Isaiah heard the Lord say, "Who shall go for us? Who shall we send?" And without thinking about what the Lord want him to do, he said, "Here am I, send me." And then the Lord gave him this vision, gave him this commitment or commandment. He said, "Go and tell these people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive." Now Isaiah must be really puzzled. He wants me to go and preach, but preach in a way that they can't hear, preach in a way that they can't see. Do you know why God did that? Then Isaiah said, do I have to do this? For how long should I do this? And then the Lord gave him answer. Until the whole of Israel is basically perish and destroy, except for a small remnant. So the mission that was given to Isaiah is a mission to preach the word of judgment on the nation that has hardened their hearts towards God, on the nation that has disobeyed God and turned their hearts to idols for years and years. And Isaiah's mission is to bring judgment to them through his preaching. They may hear, they will not understand. They may see, but they cannot understand as well what they see. And Jesus was quoting from that. If your heart is continuing to be hardened towards God, then God sometimes will let you be, let you stay in that hardened state, and that you will not hear him speaking to you anymore. You may hear, but you will not understand. But for the disciples, they have been following the Lord. They have faith in him that this teacher, this rabbi that are leading them, he is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. Peter had that revelation of Jesus that you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. So to these disciples, they have faith in this teacher, the Lord Jesus, that was leading them. So Jesus explained the parables to them. Jesus explains the parables to you. So let's continue in verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the words of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of the riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruits and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Here the Lord Jesus told the disciples the meaning of his parable. He wants them to know. He wants them to hear. He wants them to understand. And Jesus had that same desire for all of us here too. And he explained to them what this parable means. He did not give us the meaning of what the sower represents. In other parables he did. Like the sower who go out to the field and sow good seeds. He said the sower is the Son of Man. But here he did not say that. He said the sower, a sower went out to sow. Now who is the sower? Well, he is sowing the words of the kingdom. He is sowing the words of God. So the sower could be the Lord Jesus. Yes, he's preached about the kingdom of God. It could be John the Baptist. He preached about the kingdom of God. It could be any preachers who preach the word of God. It could be a Sunday school teacher teaching the children about the kingdom of God, about who the Lord Jesus is. It could be any of you who are sharing gospel with your friends, with your relatives, with the people that you love and care for. So you are a sower. A sower went out to sow, and he sowed seeds on the ground. So those seeds that fell on the wayside, that fell on the hard trodden ground. There are seeds that sow on the hearts of the people who hears it but do not understand it. They not only do not understand it, they did not take time to try to understand it. So whatever they heard, the words of the kingdom will be quickly snatched away by Satan. Satan are like the birds who came down, swooped upon them, and then took the seeds away, took the word of God away. And then they said there was a second group of people who received the seed, but they only have a very thin layers of soil for the seeds to grow, and the seeds could not take root. The word of God could not take root in their heart. The Lord Jesus said they received it with joy, for they perhaps heard about all the benefits that a Christian can enjoy. But he has no root in themselves. He endures for a little while, but when trouble comes, when tribulation comes, when persecution comes, they will just give up. They will just throw it away. And then there's a third group of people who receive the seeds, but their hearts are like a place where there is soil, but it's full of other things, the thistles, the thorns, and brambles that choke the word of God, and the word of God could not bear fruits in their heart. Some people think that the first group is quite clear. They are not saved because the seeds had no chance to take roots in their heart. But some think that the group 2 and group 3, the seeds that fell on the shallow, rocky ground and the seeds that fell onto the ground that full of thorns and thistles, perhaps it represents Christians who believe and then fell away from the faith. Now, we do not believe that, because we believe that when you are saved, when you are truly saved, you can never lose it. The Lord Jesus said to us in John chapter 10 that we are his sheep. The sheep listen to his voice, and he called us by name, and we will follow him. And the sheep are in his hands. The sheep are in his Father's hands. And no one can snatch us out of his hands or the Father's hands. We are safe and secure once we truly believe in the Lord Jesus. But why do we see so many people who claim to be believers or Christians? Yet after a while, they will just slowly falling away from the Lord, and we don't see them again. They don't read the Bible anymore. They don't pray anymore. They don't meet with other Christians anymore. We just don't see them again. R.C. Sproul is a very famous Bible scholar. He can tell you exactly which day, what time that he became a Christian. He remembered clearly that he was with his best friend from college, and they went to this meeting, and on that day at 11 o'clock, they gave their life to the Lord Jesus after hearing a very powerful sharing of the message of the gospel. They went back to their dorm in college, and they both, young men who have girlfriends, and they say, let's write to our girlfriends and tell them why we decided to believe in Jesus. So they did that. They went to the dorm and each of them write a letter, and then they went away to their things, and at night they went to sleep. Do you know that by the time they wake up the next day, less than 24 hours later, his best friend, has totally given up the idea about believing in Jesus. He was as happy as R.C. Sproul that day when he heard the message of the gospel. He totally said that he wanted to give his heart to the Lord. But by the next morning, he has totally given up the idea about submitting to Christ's rules and receiving Christ into his heart. Very sad, but not so for R.C. Sproul. Whatever happened that day was permanent. Whatever happened that day at 11 o'clock when he heard the message, it was a permanent and dramatic change in his whole life. And he stayed on the course of being a believer of the Lord Jesus for the rest of his life. And he became a very good help to many other students of the Bible too. Now, why there's such a difference? Why there's one that hear the word, receive it gladly, and then quickly fallen away from it? And why there is some others who receive the word and they will glad and they bear fruits that glorifies God? The difference is that one is a professor and one is a possessor. His good friends profess to be a Christian, say, "I believe," but straight away he fell away because there's nothing real that he possessed within his own soul or spirit. But for us, it's broad, he has possessed not just a knowledge about Christ, but he has a life of Christ living within him. He has the Holy Spirit now controlling the way he lives his life. These two groups of people also show us that false conversion is something that we should be aware of. And when we share gospel with people, don't quite try to put too much pressure on the people who are listening to your preaching or sharing of the gospel. Don't force them to pray the sinner's prayer when you do not see a real conviction of their own sins. Many people hear the gospel, they hear all the benefits about being saved from your sins and going to heaven with no fear of hell. They want that. They wanted that. And worse still, some preacher was even at, you know, if you believe in Jesus, he will make you wealthy and healthy. That's even more attractive. And say, "Oh, I want to believe." But their heart is still very much unconverted. Their heart is very much belongs to the kingdom of this world. Their allegiance is still very much to the God of this world, to the prince of this world, to the evil one. They are not saved. They might pray the sinner's prayer 100 times with you, but they are not saved. A true conviction of their own sins is very, very important. If you can't see that, then they will not appreciate the blood that the Lord Jesus has shed for them. So please remember that. These two groups of people, the seeds that fell on rocky grounds, the seeds that fell among thorns, they gave us plenty of warning about what to watch out for when we share the gospel. The last group of people, their hearts are like good soil. And when they heard the word take roots in their hearts, and the words will begin to bear fruits. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. They may bear fruits in different degrees, but one thing that marked this group of people different to the other three groups is that they bear fruits. The other three groups has no fruits to show. Now, I do not want you to think that the people with the good heart, the good soil, are the good people. They're people who are so good that they deserve to be saved. No. They are just hearts that has been prepared by the Holy Spirit, prepared by God, that they are ready to receive the Word of God. Now, if you met John Newton before he was converted, you would not call him a good person. You know, he was a slave trader. He would go to Africa and grab those black people who were living freely on their own land, and then he would take them away to England and sell them off for profit. You will not call John Newton a good person. But there was a time in his life when there was a danger came upon his soul. He was afraid that he would die on that day. Then he remembered what his mom or his parents had taught him when he was young. The faith that they had shown him, had instructed him. He remembered those things, even though he has long abandoned them in pursuit of money and other things through the slave trading. So when that day, that time came, his heart was ready. His hearts were ready to be, to receive the word of God that will convert his soul. He was not a good person, but his heart was ready. Jesus said, "He who has an ear, let him hear." As I said to you just now, identify yourself. Look for yourself in this parable. Look for yourself in other parables that Jesus taught. But in this parable, the sower, where are you? Are you still very much in the kingdom of this world? Is your heart like those on the well-trodden, hardened ground that cannot receive any seeds that will take root? Or is your heart like that rocky ground with a thin layer of soil that your seed may grow a bit and then will die when difficulty comes? Or is your heart like one of those that has seeds fell on the thorny, the thick thistles and brambles that will keep choking you? You are filled with the worries of this world. You think about the riches of this world that you want to gain, and you have no time for God. I pray that your heart will be like the good soil, that you have that desire to want to come into God's kingdom and live there. You want to accept God as your King. You want to accept God as your Lord. So you understand now, as the hostility towards the Lord Jesus increased, Jesus spoke to the people in parables. Not only he speak the parables to reveal God's mystery, but he also speak to conceal. And today when you hear this message, you can be assured that God is willing for you to listen and understand, and then give yourself to it, free from the bondage in darkness, but come to the kingdom of the Son that he loves, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you will bear fruits. The Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees, "By the fruits that you bear, I will know what sort of trees you are. By the words that you speak, you shall be judged." And the Lord Jesus will look at you and say, "Where are your fruits? Because by your fruits, I will know whether you are mine or not." What are the fruits for? To glorify the Lord, the King of this kingdom that we want to belong to. The Lord Jesus gave us this parable of the sower, but he wants the words of the kingdom to not only take root in your heart, but eventually will grow and bear fruits that will glorify him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love towards the people, even to the people who rejected you and who hardened their hearts towards you. And you continue to speak to them. If they have ears, they will hear. If they have heart willing to search for the truth, they will find. So therefore, I commit to you all the brothers and sisters here in this room. Some may have yet to truly experience you in their life. We commit them to you too, and that you may search their hearts and you may plant your seeds in their hearts, and that these seeds may take root and may bear fruits unto you. Lord, may all the glory and honor be unto you, for you are truly worthy. I pray in your precious name. Amen.